as we just kind of roll into it, are there any questions? Is there any clarifications maybe from what was done? Anything that, or just in general, if you have a question about prayer or difficulty of some kind, anything that you maybe want to spend maybe just a couple of minutes talk about or verifying for you about your prayer life? Yes. How can you be more humble? That's a good question, yeah. Humility is a virtue, and I didn't define what a virtue is. I kind of mentioned it, but I didn't concretely define it. A virtue, according to St. Thomas Aquinas, is a good habit that changes our behavior, okay? So the virtue of humility is a very important virtue, actually. It's like the... St. Thomas refers to it as like a primary virtue. He uses that kind of phrase, like it's primary. And what he means by that is that one of the analogies that's often used for humility, it's like a naval bombardment, right? When we want to invade a country or someone wants to invade a country, one of the easiest ways to kind of blow forth the way in order that you can occupy the area is a naval bombardment. Right, you're from a safe distance, you throw everything out there, and you create an easy way to occupy the land. Well, likewise, humility is that virtue, that those good habits that lead us very quickly to occupy the virtuous life, okay? So it's a very, very important role. But how do you grow in this particular virtue? First thing that comes to my mind is a very important prayer called the Litany of Humility. The Litany of Humility will kick your behind, all right? It literally, like, slashes your ego, like, with a knife in the back, you know? I think that's one of the key things I recommend is get rid of the ego. In any way that you kind of express prideful ego, observe that and try to get rid of it. Another way to grow in humility and to build these good habits is... try not to let yourself be offended by other people. I still struggle with this myself. It's one of the things that you can, as you grow in the spiritual life, is when other people insult you or if they say things that are not nice about you or they gossip about you or even when they're not necessarily doing anything evil, but for whatever reason, what they talk about kind of gets you on edge a little bit. If you can try to not be offended as much, or at least not let your offensiveness be manifested, right? That's that cool, calm, humble heart that's able to deal with that. Another way to grow, a more practical way, and you can apply this in different contexts, docility comes to my mind. I mean deference. Deference means like giving priority to other people. So, like, one of the easiest things is, like, always be the last one to leave a room where you know things got to get picked up and start picking stuff up, you know? Have deference to – be the one at your table, like, when you're at home eating at dinner or something like at home, be the one who waits and picks up everything after everyone's done. Pick up after every people. That's that humility. That's a very good practice of humility, that deference to – when you walk into a room, be the last one to walk in, open the door, and hold it for everyone. That's a very easy, concrete way to grow in humility. So you can think of that in a lot of ways. When you're driving on the street or on the freeway, just always give the other person the right of way, you know? Don't have to be the one who speeds around them. You know, it's very simple. It's very simple. And you do these little ways because you're trying to build habits of how you live in general. And so when it comes more important times to be humble, it can happen like that. So does that make sense? You follow that deference towards other people. Very special, very important. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know a great way, especially if you're like boyfriend and girlfriend, a great way to grow in humility is don't pick the restaurant where you go out to eat. Let the other person pick, right? Like, you might say, like, hey, let's go out to dinner tonight. Oh, where do you want to go? Like, I don't know. Where do you want? Always ask them where they want to go. Like, you always have a place in mind. Like, I think about this with my former pastor, Father John. We used to have dinners a lot, and we'd go out and have a good time and just relax and enjoy ourselves. Father John was always very good at just letting me pick the restaurant. So with your friends, you know, not just boyfriend, girlfriend, but with your friends, people handle it, don't pick the restaurant. That's another simple way. You can apply that in all sorts of situations. Basically, let's concretely name that don't make known your preferences. Don't make known your preferences. Let other people's preferences, if they're not, of course, sinful, dominate. It's humility there. Mm-hmm. That's deference. It's allowing your ego not to manifest itself. Good question. Good question. Yes.
When you say forgive those who have wronged us and leave it up to God, is it in our place to confront them about how they wronged us or where they have wronged us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the question is twofold in regards to forgiving others who have trespassed against us. One, do we have to tell them that we forgive them? And two was, should we confront them and tell them how they wronged us and try to maybe correct the behavior or something like that? Yeah, let's start with the first one. So should we tell someone who has wronged us, even though let's say, legitimately, we've forgiven them, but shouldn't we maybe tell them about the injustice a little bit? And I say yes. At times, you have to. There would be times that where it could be yes, and times it could be no. If you can discern that you think something good can come of it, I think you should. And the way you can articulate how you should do it is what Jesus says in regards to turning the other cheek. Right? Have any of you watched the Catholicism Project yet? Anyone seen The Catholicism Project by Robert Barron? Okay, good. So you guys haven't heard this one yet, maybe. Father Barron does a great analysis of turning the other cheek. He says that when you turn the other cheek, that means you're hit with one cheek. And in the ancient times, what they used to do when they would discipline a servant was they used the back of their hand and they'd smack them across the face, right, as a way of discipline. So when you turn the other cheek, the image that Jesus is using is that if you're getting hit like this, that means it's your right cheek that's getting hit. If you turn the other cheek, that means you're forcing them, if they want to hit you with the backhand, they have to hit you with their left hand. And in Hebrew times, in ancient Jerusalem, the left hand was seen as what? Unclean, right? So he was telling them basically, and what Father Barron says is, you want to put people who have offended you, have done injustice against you, and it is right to do so. It doesn't just mean you just let them do whatever they want. That's not what I'm saying. But what you can do is when you turn the other cheek, that person turning the other cheek makes them think again, do I really want to hit with my unclean hand what I think is unclean, what would actually be sinful for me to do? And so what that does is it puts the person in a different moral and spiritual space. Can you say that with me? It puts the person in a different spiritual and moral place, right? So that's what it means to turn their cheek. So when you confront them with the injustice, that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to mirror back to them. Hey, look, this wasn't a good idea. And you're trying to reflect it back to them. You don't want to go back at them and say, you did this wrong, this is horrible, da da da. But you do, and you have a right to, and it's a good and holy thing to try to put them into a different moral and spiritual space to think about their actions to try to bring about conversion. Does that make sense? Okay. Then the second one was, do we have to tell them? This actually brings up a good, important definition. Let's look at the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. Forgiveness is not reconciliation. Reconciliation is not forgiveness. But forgiveness is one of the components of reconciliation. Okay? So you can forgive someone, and if you never have a chance to maybe tell them, then you never had a chance to tell them. But you can, in some way, and I think you should make it known. I think you should make it known. But now here what might be happening is you might think, well, I'm going to say I forgive them and they're just going to maybe keep doing it or they're not going to care. Well, that doesn't matter. What is incumbent upon you is to forgive. That doesn't necessarily mean that they have to accept your forgiveness, repent of their sins, and reconcile with you. That's on them, right? It's on you, though, to offer forgiveness, because you think from the moment you sin, God's forgiven you. From the moment you sin, now you have to hear the whole thought so you don't start telling the bishop, Father Jacob, saying heresy again, all right? From the moment you sin, God is offering forgiveness. His forgiveness is present and real and tangible and waiting for you. But you have to that's just one part on his part of reconciliation. There's also confession. There's also contrition, right? And there's also penance as part. And absolution, to bring about reconciliation, okay? So all of those parts are there. So forgiveness is a part of reconciliation. So although you might not experience reconciliation with that person who offended you. That's what I'm trying to get to. You do need to offer the forgiveness. And if you can make it known to them, you should try at least to make it known somehow. But the holy thing is to accept their response. They're going to respond how they respond. They might say, I don't think anything I have to be forgiven by you. What are you talking about? You know, that's fine. You did your part. You did your part.
So then it's at that point where we
leave it up to God. Yes. That would be the time where you say, okay, that's in your hands now, Lord. Okay. Are we done? All right. Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever. Thank you, guys.